We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
No sports, no rock, no information for mindless chatter. We're your station.
Stand by for news.
News on the mark.
Newsroom in New York.
You have tuned in Turn on the News, the weekly newscast from the Radio Network, with all the radio coverage of the radio. Now with computerized news readers, with fewer meddling humans, and more aggregated reporting and automated music. Tune in Turn on the News each week for the latest news, radio art, and more from our robot reporters, making sure you hear both sides, good and evil, every time you turn on the news.
There's good news.
These are dangerous times.
Something terrible is going to happen.
Ah, greetings. Yes, it is I, the Count. And I'm about to find out what the number of the day is. Oh, I wonder what it will be. Yes. Perhaps it is the number...
One.
No. But possibly number...
Two.
No. Could it be?
Three.
No? Then it must be...
Four.
No. Oh, this suspense is too much. I hope it is...
Five.
Ah, yes, five is the number.
Donald Trump getting tripped up on the number of things he says he had to remember for a cognitive test.
Sir, I'm going to give you six names. Good. They look at him. A chair, a hat, a badge, a necklace, and they vote. Those things. We're going to give you six things. And I say, good, what's going on? Can you rename them? So I name them. Then they go back, and if you can do it in order, that's even better.
Now, what's five?
Five.
Five. Five. Five.
Five. Five.
It's never good when you say, this is how I aced a cognitive test, remembering six things, and you mention five.
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 Five. Five. Five.
Five. Five.
Last week on Turn on the News.
To recap, DeSantis finished a distant second in Iowa, and even more ominously, his super PAC has begun layoffs and trimmed operations in several places. And after losing by 30 points in Iowa and polling at an anemic 6% in New Hampshire, Ron DeSantis has dropped out of the presidential race.
So now that DeSantis is out, Republicans are left with two choices, either Donald Trump or a person who's going to endorse Donald Trump in the coming months. No matter how badly he treats her in the coming weeks or months, Nikki Haley is almost certainly going to endorse a man who is now facing so many criminal and civil cases, they could turn his courtroom sketches into trading cards. And on top of the criminal cases, he's also more untethered from reality than he's ever been. Over the weekend, for example, he had a very bizarre moment where he confused Haley with Nancy Pelosi and blamed Haley for the January 6th insurrection, even though Haley was nowhere near D.C. on January 6th. Also, nothing he's saying here is true, regardless of who he's talking about. But on top of that, he can't even get the names right.
By the way, they never report the crowd on January 6th. You know, Nikki Haley, you know, did you know they destroyed all of the information, all of the evidence, everything? Deleted and destroyed all of it. All of it. Because of lots of things. Like, Nikki Haley is in charge of security. We offered her 10,000 people.
Why does he keep saying her name? Is he confusing Nikki Haley with Beetlejuice?
Nikki Haley.
Not only does he get it wrong, he keeps saying it over and over.
Nikki Haley.
He sounds like an undercover cop who keeps saying the wrong safe word during a drug bust. Whoa, whoa, whoa! I'm not a cop, I'm a drug dealer, just like you, Nikki Haley, Nikki Haley. Nikki Haley, get me out of here! Hey, Chief.
Donald Trump.
Keeps saying the safe word, but he keeps saying it wrong. Hey, relax, kid. He's a pro, he knows what he... Oh, they just threw him off the roof. And these people say Biden is in cognitive decline. I mean, sure, Biden's old, but I'd rather a president fall up some stairs than whatever the hell is going on with Donald Trump. At least Biden fell in the right direction, you know? If Trump had fallen down the stairs, he'd try to blame Nancy Pelosi, but forget her name and say he was pushed by the ghost of Winston Churchill.
I knew I couldn't trust that baby. There was something. No baby should be that old. Prime Minister Benjamin Button, that's what I call him.
So DeSantis is out. His performative war on wokeness failed miserably. And now, like the rest of the GOP, he's sheepishly endorsing a man indicted on 91 criminal charges who incited a violent insurrection and is explicitly promising to become a dictator. Maybe Ron is just hoping he can worm his way back into Trump's good graces and that Trump will make Ron his running mate, a.k.a. his...
Number two.
He's a little confused these days. He apparently can't tell the difference between Nikki Haley and Nancy Pelosi.
In a new interview, presidential candidate Nikki Haley questioned former President Trump's mental fitness and said that she thinks he is, quote, declining, while Trump thinks Nikki Haley is that lady from Law & Order.
Nikki Haley, Nikki Haley, Nikki Haley.
Donald Trump won the New Hampshire primary last night, but his main rival, Nikki Haley, got over 40% of the vote, which wasn't exactly the resounding victory Trump had been hoping for. But you know what? All things considered, I think he and his supporters handled it pretty well.
These are fake numbers. Nikki Haley does not have this much support.
Nikki Haley is an open border globalist who is bought and paid for not just by the Republican establishment, but also by Democrat donors that are fueling her campaign.
She's doing like a speech like she won. She didn't win, she lost. You can't let people get away with bull, okay? You can't. You just can't do that. And when I watched her in the fancy dress that probably wasn't so fancy come up, I said, what's she doing? We won.
Did you? Because you seem super pissed off. That's not generally the vibe of most victory speeches. When Obama won in 2008, I don't remember him saying, tonight America's proven that anyone who didn't vote for me is a little bitch. I do have to give it up for Trump's ability to be a lot of things at once. Not many wannabe dictators also have the bandwidth to say, in the fancy dress that wasn't so fancy. Not sure I need snarky fashion zingers from a guy who wears tape on the back of his tie. Is that Italian label?
No, it's scotch.
This is a classic case of Trump talking about someone else but really telling you about himself. Fancy but really not so fancy describes all of his properties. Remember, everything that looks gold in his apartment is one scratch of a thumbnail away from Asbestos City. The Mar-a-Lago bathroom has a chandelier, fancy, but also stacks of boxes, not so fancy. So Trump may have won New Hampshire last night and tightened his grip on the GOP nomination, but it was still an underwhelming result for a former president who is far and away the biggest name in the party with the most endorsements, the most name recognition, the most resources, and the most courtroom sketches. I mean... It's starting to look like an Andy Warhol painting. Trump's problem isn't how many people voted for Haley last night. It's how many said they couldn't support him in the general. Trump got a little more than 50% of the vote, but a large percentage of Republicans said in a survey that they would not vote for him if he's the nominee in November.
How would you feel if Trump wins the nomination? 53% of Republicans will be very satisfied. But here's the problem for the former president. According to our voter analysis, 35% of Republicans said they would not vote for Donald Trump.
35%. Can you imagine if Joe Biden had gotten a similar poll result? Democrats would be losing their minds. It would be mayhem. Every Prius in the country would be lined up at the Canadian border. Whole Foods would be out of boxed water and bamboo toilet paper. Somehow, when Republicans are unhappy with their nominee, it's not a big deal. But when Democrats grumble about Biden, it's a five-alarm fire. If the same percentage of Democrats had said they wouldn't vote for Biden in November, the top story on Steve Kornacki's big board would be, run for your lives, we're And that wasn't the liberal media who conducted that poll. That was Fox News.
With Donald Trump, Republicans have lost almost every competitive election. We lost the Senate. We lost the House. We lost the White House. We lost in 2018. We lost in 2020. And we lost in 2022. The worst kept secret in politics is how badly the Democrats want to run against Donald Trump.
Yeah. Yeah. Trump's a loser.
He's a loser.
Trump is deeply unpopular. He's never won a majority of voters, and he's cost the GOP election after election. He fell ass backwards into the presidency one time because we have a dumb system based on states rather than actual votes. That could happen again. We can't discount the possibility. But Trump is not popular. Haley's comments angered Trump, angered him more, that is. I mean, the dude is never not angry. Even his thumbs-up face looks like he's getting a colonoscopy. Have you guys seen that photo of Trump laughing? Yeah, me neither. So instead of graciously celebrating his victory, Trump implied that Haley has some sinister skeletons in her closet that she could potentially be prosecuted for.
And just a little note to Nikki. She's not going to win. She's not going to win. But if she did, she would be under investigation by those people in 15 minutes. And I could tell you five reasons why already. Not big reasons, a little stuff that she doesn't want to talk about, but she will be under investigation within minutes.
Little stuff she doesn't want to talk about. I can't say what, but a birdie told me, big birdie, strong birdie. Tears pouring down his beak, he told me, Nikki Haley, parked in a loading zone. Chirp, chirp.
Trump is, of course, projecting, as he always does, because he's panicking. He knows the Haley vote was in reality a vote against him, and it may not be enough to stop him from winning the primary, but could definitely hurt him in the general. Even Fox News and Trump's former press secretary had to admit that. They know that a large percentage of voters simply won't support a guy who's facing 91 charges and who, if he's convicted, could be looking at
maybe 15, maybe 20. Nikki Haley. Nikki Haley. Nikki Haley.
Overnight, Donald Trump increased his attacks on his only Republican rival left standing, Nikki Haley. Posting on social media, Trump threatened to blacklist anyone who donates to the Haley campaign.
He called Nikki Haley bird brain, and he warned her campaign donors they will be, quote, permanently barred from the MAGA camp if they give her any more money.
If you're wondering what MAGA camp is, it's like Boy Scout camp, except the badges are for things like tax evasion, election fraud. Lying about your golf score. What'd you get on the par five, Timmy? 9. Try again. 4. Here's your patch. Also, I do not believe Trump would ever actually blacklist anyone who wants to give him money, no matter who they supported. If Joe Biden himself offered Trump $1,000, there's a good chance Trump would show up to his next rally in a Biden t-shirt.
We love Joe Biden, don't we, folks? The stock market is soaring. Unemployment is at a 50-year low. And let's be honest, the guy he's running against is a real psycho.
You may have also noticed that Trump has a super dumb nickname for Haley. He calls her Bird Brain because I guess he gets all of his insults from old Archie comics. For a guy who loves insulting people, he doesn't really keep up with innovations in that field. Also, I'm not sure you should be calling anyone else Bird Brain when you're the one who always, it seems always, has birds on the brain.
And I know windmills very much. They kill the birds. A windmill will kill many bald eagles. They're killing all our eagles and our birds. The windmills knock out thousands of them.
They're killing eagles. They're killing the bald eagle and other eagles and other birds.
If you want to see a bird cemetery, go under a windmill sometime. You'll see birds like you never saw. If you love birds, you'll start to weep.
Say what you will about Trump, but the most successful candidates always know how to tap into the soul of the nation with a few simple words. Obama had "Yes, we can." Clinton had "It's the economy, stupid." And Trump has "If you want to see a bird cemetery, go under a windmill sometime." I also like, at the end, how he clarified, "If you love birds, you'll start to weep." What he's saying is, I don't and I didn't.
I went under there. I couldn't believe all the dead birds, each one more decapitated than the next. It was so gruesome, and yet I felt nothing. If anything, I got a little bit hungry.
Senator Lindsey Graham, a key Trump rival turned enemy turned ally turned enemy turned frenemy turned ally turned best friend for life, had this ludicrous thing to say about Trump on Fox News last night.
The people of South Carolina believe that Donald Trump was the best Republican president since Ronald Reagan. I endorsed Donald Trump on day one because I saw from a front row position of 4 years of the toughest guy I've ever seen in Washington.
He's the toughest guy I've ever seen. The man walked through a bird cemetery and lived to tell the tale. Meanwhile, my meemaw won't even let me go into a pet store because one time a parrot told her she looked tired. And I said, "Meemaw, you do look tired." And she said, "I'm tired of having a good-for-nothing grandson like you." And then I stormed right out. But then I stormed right back in because my meemaw's a lot, but I do love her biscuits. Well, it won't surprise you to learn that, as usual, even Trump's most loyal servants are full of There's a wild new report out that Graham actually flipped on Trump and the Georgia criminal investigation into Trump's attempts to overturn the results there. Graham played a key role in that scheme. He tried to help Trump pressure the Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger, to tamper with the vote count. But Graham later spilled all of his dirt to a grand jury and even expressed relief that he'd finally come clean.
Graham turned on a dime and, quote, threw Trump under the bus during his grand jury testimony in Fulton County, Georgia. Trump faces 13 charges in that state in connection with his efforts to steal the 2020 election. Quote, Graham testified that if you told Trump that Martians came and stole the election, he'd probably believe you. He also suggested to the grand jurors that Trump cheated at golf. It got even weirder from there. After Graham was finished testifying, he bumped into District Attorney Fannie Willis in a hallway and thanked her for the opportunity to tell his story. That was so cathartic, he told Willis. I feel so much better. Then, to the astonishment of one source who witnessed the scene, South Carolina's senior senator hugged the Fulton County DA. According to one witness, Willis was like, whatever, dude.
He spilled everything, then hugged the DA. Even the DA was like, are you okay? Graham clearly had a lot he needed to get off his chest. He even told the grand jury Trump cheats at golf. Why would that even be relevant? This is like when your best friend breaks up with a boyfriend and you can finally tell them everything you hate about the guy. He cheated on you. He's racist. He smells bad. And he has a thing for dead birds. Things never end well for Trump suck-ups like Graham. Just take, for example, former Trump advisor Peter Navarro, who was sentenced to 4 months in prison today for contempt of Congress. Navarro is such a loyal Trump servant, he defied a subpoena to testify. But his story, like the stories of all Trump sycophants, ended in humiliation today when he tried to hold a press conference outside the courtroom and was drowned out by protesters.
The top line here is that Mr. Woodward has already filed the appeal. In this case, and I have said from day one, is destined for the Supreme Court. It is a case that really asks the important question of whether a senior White House aide and alter ego of the president can be compelled to testify.
The lesson, as always, is that loyalty to Trump will never be rewarded and always ends in humiliation, whether you're testifying to a grand jury or just trying to give him advice. Trump will eventually turn his wrath on you and you'll have debased yourself for nothing. Your political career will be so dead, it belongs in a
bird cemetery.
Nikki Haley.
Donald Trump is so irritating to the rest of us, how we wake up every day asking, why the are you still here? That's how Donald Trump feels about Nikki Haley. He wants her to go away so badly, but she's still in the race, and she's ramping up her attacks on him, focusing specifically on his mental state.
There are multiple things that I think are the reason he should not be president. That's the whole reason I'm running. I do think that he is in decline.
On election night, we were super excited. We had moved 25 points in the 3 weeks leading up to the election. And Donald Trump was totally unhinged. Unhinged.
I like to imagine that when Trump heard that, he reacted very calmly, just quietly took the remote, switched off the TV, and turned to his assembled team to say, that's a very unfair characterization of my myriad of public statements. I'll admit that I make the occasional verbal faux pas, but that's no reason to stoop to ad hominem attacks. Is there no place left in the political arena for civility? That's my query for you, Birdman Haley. Now, calling Trump unhinged is both correct and a little rich coming from Nikki Haley, who worked under Trump as his UN ambassador in 2017 and 2018, a time no one recalls as the hinged years. The books about that time have titles like Peril and Rage, not All Good and Fully on the Hinges. So apologies that when you say he's unhinged, we don't lean forward and say, tell us more, Nikki.
Nikki Haley.
You know, I had an uncle. He's the longest-serving professor, Dr. John Trump, in the history of MIT. Same genes. We have genes. We're smart people, you know? Mr. Lieutenant Governor, we're like racehorses, too. You know, the fast ones produce the fast ones, and the slow ones doesn't work out so well, right?
He's your uncle. People pay stud fees for the Triple Crown winner, not his brother. That was not the end of Trump's rant about his mental acumen. He then talked once again about the cognitive test he took in the White House, the one where they screen you not for superintelligence, but for dementia, and told his own audience that most of them could not pass it.
The first couple of questions are easy, like they'll have a lion, a giraffe, a whale, and a shark. And they'll say, which one's the lion, okay? Or they give you six names in a row. I took a lot of heat on this. They give you six names in a row at the beginning. Sir, I'm going to give you six names. Good. They look at them. A chair, a hat, a badge, a necklace, and they vote. Those things. We're going to give you six things. And I say, good, what's going on? Can you rename them? So I name them. Then they go back, and if you can do it in order, that's even better. I do them in order? Perfect. Then they come back to you 30 minutes later at the end, last question. They say, what were those six things? And there aren't too many people. And I get, they laughed. Everyone said, oh, that's so easy. There's only about 2% of this room can do it, but I did it. I did it very easily. But I got mocked. They said, oh, that's so easy. It's not easy. It's not easy.
Historically, it would be considered a gaffe when a candidate for higher office told a group of voters they're so dumb only 2% of them could answer which one is the lion. But Trump does it, and it gets an applause break. I guess America is divided, and I'm in the half whose reaction to that be, mother I can find the lion. Also, the hard part doesn't even sound hard. Here, let's go back to this example.
They give you six names in a row at the beginning. Sir, I'm going to give you six names. Good. They look at them. A chair, a hat, a badge, a necklace, and they vote.
One problem, that's five things. Are you underreporting the number of things for tax purposes? Also, he definitely got those five things from just looking around.
They give you six things: a microphone, a teleprompter, a retiree, a plane, or a bird. This is too far away, I can't tell. And another teleprompter.
But other than that, you nailed it. Although, what Trump said right after that would also be worrying to me if I was a medical professional.
We're going
to
give you six things. And I said, good, what's going on?
It's probably not ideal in the middle of your dementia screening test to say the words, what's going on? That's the first thing they teach you at Kaplan Dementia Prep.
You know, I aced the test. They brought me into this room, and I said, where am I? And they said, Mr. President. And I was like, who are you talking to? And then they put up six fingers, one, two, three, four, six. And then I said, what's going on? I shouldn't be here. I'm supposed to be running in the Kentucky Derby. And the doctor said, congratulations, you aced the test. And I said, that's why my name is Dr. John Trump.
Nikki Haley, Nikki Haley, Nikki Haley.
I think I'm a lot sharper than her. I would do this. I would sit down right now and take an aptitude test, and it would be my result against her result, and she's not going to win. She's not going to even come close to winning. In fact, when I heard the word cognitive, you know, I've taken two of them now. I took one with Doc Ronnie, who's now a fantastic, you know, White House doctor, and a fantastic congressman from Texas.
I personally would not cite as my sole medical expert a guy who was allegedly called the Candyman for the way he handed out pills, and who was detained by police at a rodeo. That's a real thing that happened. He reportedly cursed at state troopers and had to be pinned to the ground. As a rule, when at a rodeo, try not to behave in a way that makes you look like an event at a rodeo. In his defense, they were probably just out to get Dr. Ronnie because he was a Republican. We all know how liberal rodeo cops are. If that happened to mine, hey, man, I'm watching Matt. What do you mean he's giving you a hard time? If that happened to my doctor, I think I'd find someone else. Sorry, I'm late to surgery. I just got in a scuffle with police at a rodeo. Tried to give one of the bulls some Adderall, and I guess that's against the rules now. Anyway, enough about me. Let's find your appendix. In fact, if I were Trump, I would avoid citing the expertise of his White House medical unit altogether after details of a bizarre scandal involving prescription drugs emerged recently. According to a damning new report, the White House medical unit had severe and systemic problems with its pharmacy operations and provided health care to ineligible staffers. The probe focused on a three-year period during the Trump administration. The White House medical unit dispensed prescription medications, including controlled substances, to ineligible White House staff. Wait a second. You're telling me this guy might have been on pills? I don't want to speculate because we don't know, but also, come on, we know. The mood swings, the insomnia, the dry mouth, the incoherent babbling. He's the human embodiment of the scroll at the end of a drug commercial. He looks like he took Viagra and it worked on every part of his body except his penis. According to the report, controlled medications, including the sleeping pill Ambien and the stimulant Provigil, were dispensed without verifying the patient's identity. A witness told investigators that one doctor asked if I could hook up this person with some Provigil as a parting gift for leaving the White House in the unit. It was authorized for us to do that kind of stuff. For any other president, finding out that the White House medical unit was handing out pills like a party favor would be a pretty big scandal. But, of course, for Trump, it barely even registers because, everything else. In the E. Jean Carroll defamation trial, for example, a jury on Friday ordered Trump to pay a stunning $83 million. And even Fox News drew the conclusion that Trump should maybe just stop talking.
In New York, a jury is ordering former President Donald Trump to pay more than $83 million in a defamation lawsuit brought by E. Jean Carroll.
The whole point of this enormous damages, unprecedented damages now, is to tell Donald Trump to shut up. Stop attacking people who are no longer public citizens. Stop attacking people where you've already lost and the court has already said what you've done is liable. By continuing to defy the court by saying these things, he's showing a fundamental disrespect for the justice system and for the views of his fellow citizens, the jurors. I mean, this is not a judge who's punishing him. This is a randomly selected jury of his peers.
You know what's bad when even Fox News, the network that gives Trump unfiltered airtime, is telling him to shut up? 83 million really is a shocking number. That's three times the supposed market value of Mar-a-Lago. Trump would have to sell Mar-a-Lago three times. The only person who would fall for that is Rudy Giuliani. And he doesn't have the money either. But that's the only way to teach Trump any lessons, through his wallet. He doesn't care about anything else, although good luck getting him to pay. When they show up to collect the money, Trump's gonna take off like our close biological cousin, the racehorse. This is a presidential election. Ideally, it would be about policy and the things that actually affect people's lives. Instead, a guy who's been found liable for defamation and sexual abuse is spending most of his time bragging about acing a dementia test. If Trump is going to pay that $83 million, he might have to sell off some of his personal belongings, like, say,
a chair, a hat, a badge, a necklace, and a vote.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.